Hold on to your knickers, there is a riot in town and it's going to be wild. Featuring an all-star cast, Riot is an Irish variety show that melds high art with trash culture plus a good dose of partying and politics. Taking residency at the Magic Mirror Spiegel Tent in its Australian premiere at Sydney Festival, it's time to bow down to royalty as we're joined by the Queen of Ireland herself, Panty Bliss. Hello.
Hi.
How are you going?
I'm good, yeah.
Yeah, well.
All things considered.
All things considered? In what way?
Well, first of all, I'm on the other side of the world, mm-hmm. and it's such a pain in the ass to get here, but I love it because I come here a lot. I'm regularly here.
I know. You were here last year.
I think I've been here at least once a year for like 6 or 7 years. I think I was here twice last year, maybe.
Wow.
Although, every other year we have managed to put my little tour somehow to coincide with Mardi Gras so that I could be on the Irish float.
Yeah.
The Irish consulate started putting a float in a few years ago. And actually, this year I can't because the tour, it's not coinciding and we're off somewhere else at the time. So I'm going to miss Mardi Gras for the first time in 5 years or something this year.
How devastating.
Well, you know what? I'm 49. I'm amazing, everyone. You would never believe it. But
Cher's coming this year.
Well, that's the big rumor, yeah. Because I only once went to the big giant pavilion party because that's a little bit, I'm a little too old for that. I felt, but it was the year that Danny did.
Oh yes,
I don't. You see, in Australia, you don't. My friend is here behind me. In Australia, you don't even have to give Danny a surname. Everybody knows who you mean. And Danny did a big production number, and everything was very exciting.
Well, you're doing a big production here.
Yes,
Riot.
Yeah.
Very big, very out there, very, well, you don't usually get many live variety shows anymore.
Yes. There's a few of these things that we in the business call the Spiegel Tent shows that sort of go around the world. And they all have some aspect of this sort of variety show to them. You know, there'll be acrobats and whatever. And in some ways, this is our show, Riot, sort of, has taken some inspiration from those shows, but it's not quite that because it's made by theater makers.
Mm-hmm.
So it does feel like a sort of a show that has an idea and all that. But it looks a bit like a variety show because every 5 minutes it's changing to something totally different. And they brought very disparate performers together. So there's a drag queen, but there are circus performers and acrobats. But there's also live musicians and singers. It's all driven by live music and live singing. So it is kind of hard to describe when people say, "So tell me about the show, Riot." You know, I'm always like, "Oh God," because it's part variety, part circus, part theater. There's a lot of spoken word bits in it too.
Yeah.
So it is a little hard to describe, but it's. It is like a variety act that every 5 minutes it's totally changed. And so 1 minute you're howling laughing at something like ridiculously stupid, like people Irish dancing inside giant ridiculous pink balloons or something.
That sounds fantastic.
It's so much fun. And then the next minute there's a really sort of serious and touching, spoken word thing about abortion. You know, like, it sounds like a
Why
lot.
Not?
You know, but actually, it's just constantly super entertaining. And one of our big inspirations when we were making the show 2 years ago was old school vaudeville shows.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of research into that. People can have opinions about everything, and maybe if you took your old granny to it, she might hate it or something. I don't know, but but even she would not say it was boring.
No,
it is full on, all color, all sound, all the time, constantly changing. Yeah,
sounds like you're keeping the audience on their toes.
Yes, and thankfully, Australian audiences, like other audiences before them, have really taken to it and are loving it, and it's been going gangbusters. So yeah, all good.
Excellent. Well, the show's also quite political in a way.
It is. It's very political, I would say.
Yeah.
Even though sometimes you can go along and, you know, you can almost ignore that because there's so much going on. But there's a strong political thread through it, yeah.
What kind of themes are you touching on politically in it?
Well, about the state of the world today. Now, some of it is because it was based out of Ireland, there are some things that are Irish concerned, but actually translated very well here to Australia.
Yeah.
Because there's some stuff about the Catholic Church, there's some stuff about abortion, there's some stuff about marriage equality and women. There's a lot of stuff to do with women's rights in it and gender issues. But all, I hasten to add, packaged in a super entertainingly stupid and fun way. But Those are the kind of the general. It's sort of the state of the world and how we ended up in this mess is kind of what it's about.
Yeah.
But the show is actually super hopeful. It's actually reminding us that actually everybody has the capacity to be just nice, kind people. You know, even if sometimes the internet has fucked that up. You know, so it's kind of reminding you that actually it is possible to change the world.
Yeah.
And actually, because when it was written, it was just not long after Ireland's marriage equality referendum.
Yeah.
So there was a real sort of positive idea, especially among young people, that actually it is possible to make change.
Yeah.
Because young people are very involved in that campaign in Ireland, like here.
Yeah.
And so that's it. It actually it struck me as it's kind of fun that it's in Australia here too, because it's the message is very apt. It actually is possible to make change for the good as well as for the bad, as long as you work together and sort of organize all that. So actually, the other day we were doing the show on the first day that people could actually
get married
in Australia
on that day.
So that was
wow.
a very fun day.
I mean, you were like one of the prominent faces of the marriage equality movement in Ireland. So
yes, because I'm the pretty one, though.
Of course. But you know, coming here and then we had to go through the plebiscite and everything. Mm.
Well, but, the last few years when I'd be coming here, sometimes we'd be banging my head off the table because we had ours 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
So sometimes, like I remember last year, I think at some point, I went home after the show and I was wherever I was staying and I turned on the TV and it's that you know that Q&A show or
yes.
whatever it's called, that show was on, and they were having a discussion about it. And it was literally like stepping back 18 months of time. They were saying exactly the same arguments, almost word for word. That, you know, the Christian person was saying the exact same thing. And it was just like, oh my God, this is the most depressing thing I've ever... You know, like, it reminded me of pretty much a horrible time.
Was it a time warp for you, just doing that?
It was, yeah. Because it was exactly the same debate. And bizarrely, even some of the same voices, because the sort of... The no campaign here brought over some of the Irish no people. I was like, well, they didn't win in Ireland, so you know, it doesn't seem like the best choice. But it was just like, oh God, I felt for you, because it wasn't a fun time, certainly in Ireland during the referendum campaign. Of course, it was all worth it in the end, and now I look back and only see the good things. But during the campaign, it was pretty horrible. Yeah, so.
Mm.
And the same here, I know. So,
well, it's happened.
It's all done.
People are getting married.
And actually, I don't hear, but in Ireland, it was much more transformative than I thought, because we had this giant open debate for so long, and the most horrible things were said. It was almost like airing out all the dirty laundry.
Mm-hmm.
But then once it was over, certainly in Ireland, especially because we changed our constitution, that's what our vote was about. It wasn't just a postal survey.
Mm.
At home, it feels like a finished conversation. Like, it's just done. Mm. And nobody ever talks about it anymore. Whereas in other countries where they just brought it in, through legislation, like, for example, in France, who had marriage equality for years, it is still a live issue that they argue about all the time. There are still protests against it in the streets and stuff.
Yeah.
In Ireland, that would just never happen now. Even the people who were vehemently no would say, oh, yeah, it's finished. It's over.
Yeah, the people have spoken.
Yeah. We had this giant argument, talked about nothing else for 6 months, and now it's all done. And it also, I think, transformed Ireland generally, because I think before that, Irish were always annoyed that the rest of the world still saw us like a 1950s version of Ireland.
Yeah.
They thought there was bishops wandering around bashing us on the heads with crow's ears and all that stuff. And of course, Ireland hasn't been like that in a long time.
No.
And that about was kind of annoyed Irish people about this. And in some ways, the marriage equality thing sort of announced to the world, actually, you're way behind the times. And I think, Irish people really like that aspect too, that... for the first time, maybe Irish people sort of saw themselves, it's progressive and they're sort of ahead of things, and in a way that we never really had before. So, it's been great for the country. Like, your vote was 62%, ours was 63%.
Ooh,
we beat you by the 1%. but I am super confident that if we re-ran the vote tomorrow in Ireland, it'd be much higher. Because a lot of people, at the last minute, they get frightened by some crazy thing somebody says on the radio about it, and they just vote to keep things the same or whatever. But now, 3 years later, and the sky hasn't fallen down, and all the terrible things that are meant to happen have not happened, everyone was like, oh, that was, why was I worried,
But, last year, a lot of terrible things happened.
Yeah, but not directly affected.
Not affected the island, not affected
Although, I have to say, the other day, on the first day of your real you know, the gay people could actually get married here.
Yeah.
And they were having an event at Sydney Festival outdoors, you know, like a party kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was going to go and speak at it directly after we finished our own show. But that was the day that the heavens opened and suddenly the wind came out of nowhere and there was thousands of lightning strikes. And I was like, maybe we were wrong all the time. And God, she really does not like this marriage equality idea. Lyle Shelton was right all along.
Oh, never say Lyle Shelton is right. Never say that. Goodness. I find it really interesting that, you know, this show is also about a glimmer of hope despite all the crap that
yes,
is
it
happening.
Yeah.
Because your co-residents... The Briefs, the gorgeous Briefs
yes,
boys.
Yes, yes, yes.
But their show
it's
is
so
very
awful
similar.
Having to share dressing rooms with them.
Oh,
they're
my
just
God.
Constantly naked and stuff backstage and stretching all the time. It's awful.
What do you do?
I fan myself.
But they also have their message in their show is also a glimmer of hope. That's what's to come.
Yeah, because it's because the both shows are being made in a particular time. Like their show is very different than ours. But it's true that theirs is a reaction to the same things that ours is a reaction to. Theirs is more a protest, as they describe their show. But it's definitely, they're inspired by this weird time the world is in, and we were inspired by that same weirdness.
Now, going on to your cast, you have an amazing cast, as you mentioned before.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you've got the Lord of Strutt.
Yes, who are just so entertaining, like, you know, comedy acrobats. And quite well known here in Australia because they always came here to the street performing festivals. They started out as street performers.
And
they're just so brilliantly hilarious and funny, yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got Up and Over It, who's taking Irish dancing to a whole new level.
Yes, making Irish dancing gayer than it even was already.
And then I'm really interested about, you've got Ronan Brady, who you stole from the football team.
Yeah, so he used to be like... you know, a well-known footballer in Ireland, and we have Gaelic football. It's a bit like your, what do you call your one?
A-League?
What do you call your football on the right? Aussie rules.
Aussie rules, right, okay.
So, Gaelic football, Aussie rules is kind of like a mix between rugby and Gaelic football or something.
Okay.
So we have our Gaelic football. It's, you know, at home, it's like families live and die by it. Like, it's the passion, and it's done on a county basis. So, and people, you know, if their county gets anywhere near the finals and you drive to that county, every single shop and home and sheep, literally sheep, are painted in the colors of the county. Like, it's a national obsession. And he, this guy Ronan Brady, he played for County Roscommon, which is the smallest population county in Ireland, also the oldest population, and it's the only county that voted against marriage equality.
Oh,
now,
wow.
But only by a couple of votes, tiny number, but it happened.
Yes.
So it's just interesting that one. And he was a footballer, all of that, and he had an injury, and he needed to take time out, and he took up acrobatics as a kind of, he thought, the stretching aspects and all that might be good for his injury, and he ended up becoming, you know, a full-time actor. And so he does a lot of the aerial stuff, and he also does a brilliantly funny and hilarious strip, which starts out with him in his football.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah. It's really clever and funny. Supporting people love him. So sometimes after the show, we go out for pictures with those whatever. He's very popular for the pictures.
I can imagine.
And he has an Irish country charm, you know, like he's white as a sheet. So we had to tell him, you're not allowed to get a tan when you go to Australia because this is part of your charm.
Is that difficult, considering you're here for a month residency?
Well, not with him, because he is very pale and he needs to keep himself covered up. Yeah, he would fry up in a minute, yeah.
So you're here till the end of the month.
Until... We're here in...
Sydney.
To the 28th.
28th.
And then I don't know how far away do your listeners go, but if you have any Melbourneites, then we're in Melbourne for 2 weeks, the first 2 weeks in February.
Well, clearly people have to catch you at the Sydney Festival then.
Well, yes, all you Sydney-siders.
Sydney-siders.
You need to come to Sydney Festival. And also, we're in Hyde Park in the, you know, the, what are they called? The Meriton Festival Village, is that what it's called? Which is super fun, and you know, the carousel and the stupid karaoke and all. It's fun. It's
have
fun
you done the karaoke in the glitter box?
No, I have not. Have you?
Not yet. I got there too late when I saw the princess. I was like, oh, everything's closed.
I spend half my life inside glitter boxes, so I don't need to do another one. Yeah.
Well, Panty, thank you so much for joining us
here
today.
Thanks for having me.